Good morning, I'm Bob.
And I'm Bill. And this is episode 2 of the Billy Bob, Bob Billy podcast.
And I don't know why I'm Bob, because my mother would not be very happy with that.
I know, you would like to be called Robert.
Robert.
But how many people come to Keswick and they call you Bob?
Well, because everybody knows me so well, they call me Bob.
And I think you were even at a church with Joyce, and they had that on
the... Bob and Joyce Hayes. Welcome, Bob and Joyce Hayes.
So we're here today, and we don't know how many episodes we're going to do, but our prayer is that we would be able to encourage you as we walk through these crazy, ridiculous times in our country. It is a crazy place. I went to the grocery store last night in Whiting. It's always crazy, but it was really crazy last night. There was no food, no bananas, no chicken, no toilet paper, no paper towels. There was ham. I don't understand why there was all this ham.
That's a good question.
So there's going to be a shortage of ham, so I want to encourage you to go to the store and buy this up. This morning when I came down to have my devotions, my wife had placed 2 cards on my computer. And their Bible verses, Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round them that fear him and delivereth them." And Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And it's kind of, I don't know that she put them in that order on purpose, but I thought this morning as I was praying, God's part and my part. God gives us so many promises of how he's going to care for us and take care of us in crazy times like this. But my part is to pray. I have the joy of coming into his throne room any time of the day or night and to pour out my heart to him. And so we want to start out today. Robert, I think you're going to play something for us.
In thinking about what would be appropriate, I looked up the hymn, Near to the Heart of God. And very interesting story. I discovered it was written by Dr. Clelin McAfee sometime between 1866 and 1944 when he was living. He was a Presbyterian minister. And he wrote the hymn after his brother lost 2 of his young daughters to diphtheria. And the tragedy was that so much was happening around in that time period that his brother's house had to be quarantined to prevent the spread of that disease. And so people couldn't even help them in the process of mourning. And I thought, how ironic that we're in a similar situation today with being quarantined. But the words of this song, Near to the Heart of God, are very true today as well. And so I'm going to play a little bit of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert, for sharing your ministry of music. It's always a blessing to hear Robert play. We appreciate the ministry of Robert and Joyce and how their music really speaks to hearts, and we're so grateful for that. I'm proud of the team that serve here at America's Keswick, and this morning we have Dr. Lynn Johns and Melissa Smith. Dr. Johns oversees the ministry of Barber's Place. Melissa is involved in the ministry called Enrich. Let's just take a minute. Tell us what's happening at Barber's Place.
One of the things we're doing in this season right now is we are working very hard to secure the safety of our women. Our view has always been that the women that we currently serve are our top priority. And so we have taken measures. We are kind of doing some of our own self-distancing. We're keeping a lot of the mentors and the volunteers from coming in. We're really trying to keep a secure environment, as well as we're trying to do life and continue to do every day. We don't want to miss this opportunity to create a calm environment for them, a consistent, structured environment for them, and to keep the work that God is doing in their hearts going in spite of how the enemy may be trying to sabotage that. We are giving them extra time to make contact with their families, because that is important for them to know that their families are doing okay and faring well, so that they can continue to focus on what's happening here.
So if you've not listened to the first episode, we want to let you know that America's Keswick is still here. Ministry looks a little different right now because just about all of our groups for the weekends have canceled. But obviously the heartbeat of our ministry are what's taking place at the Colony Mercy and the students' lives at Barber's Place. And so those ministries are still alive and well and functioning, and we'll continue to do that. Melissa, you're ministering to the wives of the men in the colony. How's that going with what's taking place in our world right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I minister to the wives, girlfriends, fiancés, and, you know, this is all new and sudden, and so we're just looking to keep the pace of what God's been doing in their lives thus far. You know, we've talked about how, as staff in our prayer time this morning, about how addiction in and of itself brings chaos, and a lot of, you know, the women have other things that they've been dealing with in their own personal lives, even prior to getting in that relationship. And so, and then we have the issue in our society currently. And so, you know, it can seem like a perfect storm in many respects. And yet we know that it's in times where we're most desperate for God that we most deeply experience Him. And I love what Dr. John said about us stewarding ourselves well to be stabilizing forces and conduits of grace for one another in the team here, and also to the families, you know, as far as it depends on us, but to also realize that the ultimate burden is on God as everyone's source to provide, and we're a resource, and even in that, recognizing what our role is and knowing our place in these tumultuous times.
So we're all walking through the coronavirus. And with that comes...
Well, we don't all have it.
Well, that's right. We don't have it. And Robert and I are practicing social distancing.
Oh, yes. Look at...
I mean, you know, we want to set a good example.
We're at least 6 feet.
That's right. But, you know, with the virus comes the economic concerns. I mean, businesses are being forced to close down. Churches are closing down. Thank the Lord there are online resources that we can all take advantage of. But there's a lot of fear and anxiety and despair. So you're the experts. How do we walk through these crazy, challenging times and not find ourselves leading into depression and despair?
Well, I'll touch on the fear aspect first, because that's usually, you know, that is the big one. That's really hot out there. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, because I think it really goes way deeper, and that our mental health can really be strained over the long haul. But I think fear is, you know, often we say fear is false evidence appearing real. So we need to really practice sticking to the facts. We need to practice knowing the right sources to get our information from. At BP, Barber's Place, we often say, who are your safe people? So you need to know who your safe people are that speak truth and not elaborate and exaggerate or go into panic mode. We need to know what our safe sources are for information. They are out there. So stick to the facts. That really kind of helps us stay grounded. Fear also is God calls us, you know, to remember that he's not surprised. Remember that he's walking through this with us. But at the same time, you know, God calls us to be wise. I love this verse, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Be sure that you live diligently, not as idiots who are led astray by every wrong doctrine, but as wise men who study and apply God's word daily in their lives." And I really think we get to choose today whether we listen to God, whether we listen to the fools of the world, whether we spend our time just digging into all the information and inundated it with it, or do we go and sit at God's feet? You know, one of the things that I think about is that God in Scripture, when he wanted to do something with his people, he often took them into a wilderness place. And in some ways, we could see this as our wilderness space, where God is drawing us aside. He's killing all the distractions in our lives. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, now, are you going to sit with me? And are you going to hear what I want to teach you through this? The message I want to send you, the way I want to show you myself through this. And I know that's one of the big things that we're trying to focus on here as staff is, how do we use this time? What is God trying to show us, teach us, and want us to communicate? And I think I'm thinking about that in my own personal life. I have a lot more free time now because I'm not going all over the place and meetings are canceled. And so I can use that wisely, or I can, you know, start just, you know, not doing anything, going home and vegging, using the television too much in the wrong way. And all those things will take us from fear and panic. Then it will lead to disappointment, despair, loneliness, and more isolation. And, you know, disappointment is, I think, the one thing that we've probably all experienced. Mm-hmm. We already know there's a conference that I was supposed to speak at that has been canceled. I know somebody's wedding was canceled. I know our oldest daughter's vacation next week to Jamaica was canceled. So there's a lot of things that we are facing that are disappointing. And disappointments can really get us down. They can make us start kind of drowning and wallowing in self-pity, you know, even a lot of selfishness. Like, I deserve those things. I was supposed to have those things. I've earned those things. And I think in that we really have to learn to focus on what we have, the blessings that we do have. Philippians tells us to make sure we really focus on that which is true and good and right. And we really are blessed. We're blessed as a nation right now. We are blessed with technology right now. You know, 15, 20 years ago, if this had happened, you know, it would be a whole different scenario. And so we are blessed with ministries and churches that are reaching out. You know, we're blessed with social media. So use it well. I've been on social media, and I've been trying to make sure I'm going to the websites of the people, like I said, safe people, that are encouraging us, that are helping us through it, that are posting sermons and messages of hope and encouragement. You know, just kind of remember that. And I think the other important thing is, you know, just because outside life has someone come to a halt, that doesn't mean God has taken the joy from life. Mm-hmm. He's the source of joy. We can still find ways to offer joy, to be joyful, to have fun. Fun doesn't have to not exist. Maybe we just have to learn how to do fun the old way, the old-fashioned way. You know, maybe we need to board games. Maybe we need to play board games. I hate board games, but I think I'm going to learn how to play board games again. And, you know, read books and all those things that we maybe have long ago kind of put aside. There's a lot of things we can do in place of and realize that it's not the events in life that make us. And when we put all of our hope and trust in events to determine our joy and our peace, then, you know, as we say at Keswick, we're putting them into idols, things that you know, corrupt, disappear, don't last, are short-lived. What a great time to take our disappointments and in one way is just to be filled with what God wants to teach us, show us, use us, educate us, and kind of teach us how to have fun and rest in that.
Melissa, let's get a little practical for a moment, because I know we talked about this a while back. That because we have so much information available right now, the TV, the social media, what's the downside of that? I mean, I know there are people that have not left the chair in the living room because they're waiting for the next Fox News alert. How does that negatively impact us, and what do we replace that with?
Yeah, well, you know, if I could just go back to something Lynn said, because it ties into that, and the whole concept of self-stewardship. Oftentimes in the counseling office, I will encounter people who are so busy trying to control what they can't control and are neglecting what they can control. And so ultimately, things like what we allow into our eyes and into our ears, we have control over that. God's word says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we have an emotional brain called the limbic system that literally has opiate receptors, that we have homegrown what's called endogenous opiates, that when we connect in prayer, through journaling, through sharing with other people, that our bodies are made to be soothed in godly appropriate ways, but we need to do our part in getting those needs met. Psalm 62:5, you know, putting our hope in God and our needs and desires on Him, but also processing the rational components of fear, because sometimes if we just speak to the irrational side of fear, there's the fight or flight system is a God-given gift to help us to survive and then ultimately then to thrive. And we know this might be a season that looks more like surviving at times. Ultimately, like Lynn was speaking to, we can also thrive within ourselves in our personal walk with the Lord. But the true fear is there to help us take precautionary measures and, like Lynn said, to access reasonable, balanced resources and to make sure that our entire day we're not in denial and our head in the sand about what's out there, but not to be fixated and immersed. And, you know, there are personalities that are more prone to that, and it's in knowing yourself. And, you know, we've heard it all said, the drowning lifeguard can't help anyone else. And so a lot of times in the church, self-stewardship, self-care is not talked about. And this is a season where I know in regular life, I have to get with God every morning. I'm not super spiritual. I've got strong flesh, and I'm honest about that. And I like that because it makes me dependent on God. And how much more and in a time like this, you know? And then also quickly to think about all through Scripture, all through history, God goes before us and puts people in place. You think of Joseph in Egypt, Esther, you know, and then even you, obviously Jesus, Moses, and how he's got people, even if they're not necessarily Christians, skilled people who are experts that we can access in terms of what to do financially, in terms of what to do medically, you know, but also he's put us in place, each of us, each of you, for such a time as this, to minister to your neighbors, to your coworkers. I was just excited to come in today to do prayer time, to sit with you guys, and to do this podcast, and to be able to share that joy that isn't dependent on circumstances. And I think societally, we've always had so much provided for us in advance that, you know, human nature, it's a universal thing. We tend to look at the resource as the source, as opposed to, yes, I know I'm talking with my hands. I probably
that's okay.
I flow better that way. You know, but ultimately, yeah, God's reorienting me, and I believe all of us, to Him as source. I mean, look at the Bible. Raven feeding Elijah, yep. You know, the children of Israel, their shoes didn't wear out, and manna each day. And, you know, I think God's going to do some really miraculous things for us, in us, and through us, so we can be a blessing, but not at our own expense. He's going to fill us so we can overflow.
So, like, we're all older. I'm the oldest one here. But some of the millennials, they've not lived through crises like this. And then I think about the kids. How do we help our kids process what's happening in the world right now?
I think it's really important that one of the things that you always see with those that have dealt with trauma or wounds or disasters in their life is that people are afraid to talk to them about it. People are afraid to ask them how they're dealing with it if they have any questions. This is not the time to close down dialogue and try to protect in that regards because we're really not protecting them. This is the time to find ways to ask them how they're feeling, to draw out. There's a lot of creative ways to learn to express feelings. This is a time for us to be expressing our feelings and keeping them in check and understanding the balance between fear and still walking with the Lord, uncertainty but still trusting in the Lord, being confused and not understanding and being willing to wait on the Lord. So I think it's really important to talk through and not try to keep people isolated and, you know, and at the same time, sprinkle in. We always say God's going to, you know, make, he's going to tell the story. Mm-hmm. He's going to rewrite the story that we're currently living, and it's going to look different. And we need to encourage the fact and remind people that God is at work. We don't see it now. It may be telling Bible stories and reminding them of how in the moment nobody understood it, but we now look back and can see it. We might be able to tell experiences that we've had. We've all of us lived through Sandy here. We knew what that was like to live with the uncertainty of what it was going to hit, how long we were going to go without electricity, you know, or water and all of those things. We have lived through other hurricanes and disasters and illnesses, and each one of us have different experiences like that. And I think we share those experiences to give hope, to give encouragement, and to really just remind them that when we walk through something, the better we walk through it, the more rational we walk through it, the more walking in truth that we do it, we will come out differently on the other side. And that can make or break a future for
anyone.
That's
what I was thinking. It's so, so interesting about this time period. We tell our students and the men at the colony, we give them all the Bible verses, we give them all of the biblical principles, and experiences like this force us to live those things out. And it's really kind of a good thing, even though it's not comfortable.
I think one of my major goals, and I've heard the women in the house say that, you know, one of my roles as the director of Barbara's Place right now is to be the calming influence. I'm the one that needs to come in and set the tone. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that needs to communicate information because we're trying to keep them in tune to what's happening because we don't want them to have their head in the sand. But at the same time, I have to walk the way I want them to walk and how I do that and all the decisions I make and how I present those decisions to them really sets a tone, and it really does. We are beginning to, we get to model. We get to model for everybody. I know we get to model for our neighbors. My neighbor, unfortunately, her husband is in the hospital, not well at all. She's home. She has self-quarantined because she doesn't feel well. And so I've got phone conversations going on with my neighbor, and it's the time that I help, you know, be her calming influence. Encouraging, yet calming. We can stir up. Or we can help turn the temperature down. And I think that's our goal as Christians.
I think it was David who said in Psalm 131:1 that he didn't exercise himself in matters that were too weighty for him. And I really think we can tend to do that as humans. You know, only God is omnipotent. Only God is omniscient. Jesus said, I think it was in Matthew 6, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Very applicable, right? What you're going to wear. And sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. And being in the present, not being oblivious to the future, not ignoring the past. And yeah, you know, David said, God delivered me from the lion, he delivered me from the bear, and he's going to deliver me from this Philistine. And definitely recalling for ourselves God's faithfulness in our lives. And more is caught than taught. And we have 2 Corinthians 3:5, our sufficiency is of God, and we have the Holy Spirit housed in us who wants to radiate through us and out of us for such a time as this, and without being oblivious to, you know, the realities involved. And what did Paul say? You know, he was the ultimate optimist, and I don't know if he was a natural optimist or he was a one that had to practice it, but he's like, okay, so if I stay, I'm here with you. And if I go, I get to be with Christ, you know, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And this isn't pie in the sky. This is rubber meets the road. This is the Christian life. And the body is where grace is dispensed, that transformative, empowering grace to deal. I know just sitting in prayer time with Lynn and Kathy this morning and sitting with you guys and being there, I just felt empowered in the spirit being yoked with you all. And that's where there are ways to access community through technology, and that we can go to the throne of grace and also go to the body of Christ. I think 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about how dependent we are on one another, and God wired it that way. And so we are a self-sufficient people, you know, in the Western world, and God is teaching us some important lessons that I know I need to learn and grow in, and I know our viewers probably do as well.
Thanks, Dr. Lynn, for joining us. Melissa, why don't you, before we close, why don't you play another song for us?
All right. Till the Storm Passes By.
So right now our plan is that we will do a podcast Monday through Friday. Each afternoon, Robert Joyce and I are going to get together, and we're going to do a Facebook Live mini concert, probably around 1:30. We'll keep you posted on that. But we covet your prayers as a ministry. Obviously, this is a challenging time for us. All of our groups have canceled for our weekends. 37% of our revenue comes from folks who come and do their retreats here. And so when there's no people, there's no money, and that's faith-stretching time for us. And so we covet your prayers, and if God has tugged at your heart and you would consider a financial gift for the ministry, we'd love to have you do that. You can give online, www.americaskeswick.org, donate now. You can call and make a donation at 1-800-453-7942. But I want to make sure that you take care of your church. Yeah, first responsibility is to be supporting your local church ministry. But if God tugs at your heart in a special way for the ministry of America's Keswick, we need your help. We have folks that are here on staff that would love to pray for you. And so if you're going through a tough time and you want somebody to just take a couple of minutes to pray with you, you can call 1-800-453-7942 between 8 and 5. Monday through Friday, and those folks would love to have that opportunity to pray for you. There are a couple other resources we want to talk about. Robert has a great CD, A Quiet Place, and it is, how long, Robert?
64 minutes.
64 minutes, just piano. And the songs on here will really minister your heart. It's $15 if you call the 800 number, 1-800-453-7942. You can get a copy of that.
That CD has been around for quite a while. So let me tell you about a new CD that you should pick up. There are 17 songs on Bill Welty's new piano CD. It's called Like a River Glorious, one of my favorite hymns. And you really need to pick this up and add it to your repertoire of music as well. And Bill, I'm pretty sure that I just saw a turkey walk up on that porch.
Wow, that's pretty, you never know what's going to happen in America.
You never know what's
going to happen. You can never script it out. And the cool thing about Robert's CD is that, you know, like all of his CDs, we get these wonderful stories of how God ministers and uses those CDs. And I always like to hear those encouraging words. I get things like, I use your CD to dust, to milk cows, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But we're here for you. We know that you're here for us. And so we want to thank you today for joining us for episode 2 of the Bob and Bill podcast.
And we'll let you know about the turkey in a minute.